Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church in Wellston, Oklahoma, featuring the weekly teaching and preaching ministry of the church. We are grateful that you are choosing to join us today. Our prayer is that you are blessed by today's study of God's Word, and your heart will be receptive to what God desires to teach you today. For more information about FBC Wellston, please visit our website at fbcwellston.org. We hope you enjoyed today's service, and we look forward to studying God's Word with you today.
So we're going to go to Acts chapter 2 tonight. Acts chapter 2. If you have a Bible, we are essentially finished with all the names that have been given to me as far as with the famous and the infamous, as far as when it comes to the character studies. I don't have any more names of people that have been submitted. So if you have any, then let me know. And if not, we'll move off in a different direction next Wednesday night. But tonight, I want to take a minute for us to think about what's coming up this weekend. So, starting Friday, and there's even a little cheat sheet I put on the back of that prayer request list if you want to look at it. So, starting this Friday night, what's going to happen? Church renewal. Okay, so it's going to start this Friday night, and it's going to run through Sunday evening. So on Friday night, there is going to be, and you all can correct me if I speak incorrectly, but we're going to have a meal Friday night here at the church. Then we're going to have kind of a main general session with all the people gathered together, and then we'll break out in small groups, and it will be all the way from senior citizens all the way down to kids. All those ages are welcome. So it's not just an adult thing. Kalina is welcome to be here and bring her smiling disposition and face and join us for that Friday night. Then on Saturday morning sometime, I think Miss Denise put a schedule up on the group me deal, but Saturday morning sometimes, at some point that morning, they'll have a time where we're going to go to different people's houses. You'll have a house that you'll be assigned to. You go. It's called the coffee. You're going to drink coffee, drink tea, drink water, drink nothing. But it's more of a small group time to talk and share, and they've got a certain curriculum and a program that they that we walk through, that they facilitate. You're off that afternoon for Saturday afternoon, and we come back that Saturday night, and it's the same, similar to what we did on Friday night. Come in, I think you eat again. I think we have another general session where everybody's together, then we break up in some smaller groups and do some smaller group conversations. That Sunday morning, we come back for Sunday school, 9:45, we'll only have one service, that's at 11, and then that pretty much the normal Sunday morning schedule, and then Sunday night, we come back and it's more of a time to share or offer feedback for the things that took place over the weekend. So somebody may say, well, that sure does seem like a lot. Well, if you grew up in the late 80s and the early 90s doing revivals, this is a piece of cake. Because in the late 80s and early 90s in your more traditional Southern Baptist churches, you would usually start on a Monday and that revival would go Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, all day Saturday. It may end on a Sunday. And then I've even been in some where they got to the Sunday and they're like, you know what, we think this is working out. Let's just go for a whole nother week. And so every night was a different night, and every night was a different theme. You would have a pack a pew night, and you would have bring a neighbor night, and you had all these different nights trying to bring people in, and you would show up, you'd eat supper, and then you would have a little singing, and that preacher would go for an hour, 2 hours. Whenever he felt like he got tired enough, he would go. And so to me, it's a Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. So there's still a time for you to sign up and to attend, and if you can't attend all of it, I would encourage you to attend as much as you can. So if you say, hey, I'm busy on Saturday, but I can be there on Friday and Sunday, then please do that. But it's the idea that we come together. So one of the questions is,
one logistical thing in case you miss Friday night, Saturday, if you have kids, you bring them here, you drop them off, and then you go to your coffees. Just so you know,
okay.
That can't be your Friday night.
Okay. So it's that Saturday morning group where you can drink coffee if you want to, or drink water, or drink tea, or yeah. So a lot of people will ask, well, what is this? If you've already been through it before, you have a familiarity with it. But for some of you that may not have been through it before, you may say, well, what is this? So we call it church renewal. what is really going on. And I know we've watched videos with Mo, we've watched videos with Greg, and we've watched videos with Van, and we've watched videos, if you've been looking, Ryan's up there and Tanya's up there, and people have tried to explain what this is about, and you, maybe most people are like, I still don't understand. Well, the best way I can try to explain it is, and I put this there, the backs of that prayer request, if you want to look at it, it's a weekend designed to encourage, refresh, challenge, and equip the church to be healthy and faithful in ministry. That's all this is. We are wanting to encourage, refresh, and challenge us to be healthy and faithful in ministry. Why? Because we understand that the church consists of people. And people, from time to time, need a good dusting. From time to time, they need a good recalibration. From time to time, they need a little bit of encouragement, a little rejuvenation, a little refresh, a little remodel from time to time. Those individuals. And what starts at the individual level will go to the corporate level. What goes from the corporate level will then go to the body of believers level. And then will eventually impact the community. So all it is a time for us to be encouraged and refreshed and think about what it looks like to be a healthy part of the body of believers. Now, somebody, maybe the more cynical type, will say, well, is this really necessary? I think that's the wrong question. Is it possible to be too close to God? I don't think it is. I don't think there's any way to be too close to God. And maybe a follow-up, how close is close enough? So the whole idea is that in our just Christian life, we start to get a little crusty sometimes. We start to get a little bit jaded. We start to get a little bit patina, if you will. And sometimes we can just forget how far we've drifted away from where we're supposed to be. It's kind of like you're sitting there in your house. And, you don't put this up today. And then the next time it's two things. And the next time it's three things. And before you know it, you've got quite a collection there at the house that has just accumulated over time. And you don't even notice it. You don't even realize it. That's just because that's what you see every single day. And then a kid comes over, one of your kids comes over and says, my gracious, why do you got so much stuff? Well, you didn't realize you had much stuff because you saw it one piece at a time, right? It's the old Johnny Cash song, right? Got it one piece at a time. It was one of those things that you and I just got to think about it. And if we can do this in our spiritual life, we can just begin to drift. We can get lazy in areas. We can get just uncaring in areas. And so this renewal is always good. But what I want to look at in Acts chapter 2 is how does a renewal happen? Now from the very onset, I want to give some qualifiers. I understand that God and the Holy Spirit can supernaturally do whatever God directs the Holy Spirit to do. I understand that God can bring about a supernatural revival and renewal in people that may not be looking, may not even be wanting. If God can make a donkey talk, God can do whatever He wants. So I'm not saying that God needs us. I'm not saying that God won't work unless us. I am not saying that we can cause or make God do something that we want. However, I have seen, not just in Acts 2, but I've seen elsewhere in Scripture, where when people got right with God, God showed Himself faithful to people. So please don't hear me say, well, if we just do this formula, then God owes us, or God, we can demand from God, or I can say, God, you are going to do this because I say you're going to do it. However, look at the recipe that was involved. Now, when we come to this recipe, there's two options. We do the recipe, and God shows up. Great. We do the recipe and God doesn't show up in the way that we are hoping or the way that we wanted. Are we any worse for wear? Are we any worse spiritually? No. So I don't want you to hear that, oh, well, as long as we do these four things, then this is what God does, and kind of like we can go ahead and put these demands in front of God. However, notice the ingredients. I want you to see four ingredients there in verse 42. Verse 42 says in my translation, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. There's four ingredients that I think that Paul points to. Well, it's actually Luke who's writing this, but there's four ingredients that he points to that what they were doing. Now, he's talking about the early church. Now, this is right after Pentecost, okay? So you have Judas has been replaced, so now they're back up to full strength to the 12. They're all up there in that upper room, about 120 people in the upper room. They've been praying. 10 days or so had passed from when Christ had ascended back to heaven, and now they've been up in that upper room praying and devoting themselves to prayer. And then about on the Pentecost, which is the 50th day, that's why it's Penta, it's the 50th day after the Passover, it says, talks about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes upon them and they become Spirit-filled, and they start talking in known tongues. This is where some people misuse and mistake what this gift of spiritual tongues is, but they are talking, and then Peter sees what's going on. He preaches. At the end of verse 41, it says 3,000 souls were added that day. So there was a great harvest. There was a great number of people that came to faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 42, Luke starts to describe what they were doing. He starts to describe, so this is what the early church was doing. Four things that were going on. Do you see them there in verse 42? What do you see? Okay, so they stayed steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. I put a paraphrase there. They devote themselves to God's word. And what you say, well, is that the same thing? Well, the apostles were teaching God's word. And they not all of them had a Bible. Most of them didn't have a Bible. And really, at that time, the only really collection they would have had would have been the Old Testament. And even then, they wouldn't have had the entire Old Testament together. They may have had a scroll of this or a partial scroll of that. So really, they're basing themselves off the apostles' doctrine. So they're devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, the apostles' doctrine. They're devoting themselves to God's word. All right, so that's number one.
Fellowship.
What?
Fellowship.
Fellowship. That's what it says. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. So what is fellowship?
Meeting with believers.
Accountability. Sure.
Food.
Well, we'll get to the food here in a minute. Okay, so they're gathering with one another, right? So you've got believers that are getting together with other believers, right? And so that fellowship, and you go back and you look it up, go back up and look in the original language, it's just the spending of the time together, us coming together. And we come together not just to ask how the weather's doing or ask how your work's doing. We come together to study God's Word together, to understand God's Word together, and to apply God's Word together. That's really what that picture of fellowship is. It's not just, it is food, but it's a whole lot more than food. It's the idea that we come together, and it's not just, let's talk about the weather and what's going on in sports. Let's come and let's talk about the things of the Lord. What we're learning, what God is showing us, how we're applying this, our struggles, our successes, the way we need help, the way we need accountability. I mean, those are all baked into this idea of fellowship. So they have devotion to the Word. They've got committed to the fellowship. What else are they doing?
Breaking the bread.
Breaking bread. Eating. Maybe another way of putting it, they're doing life together. So when they'd come together and they would devote themselves to the apostles' teachings and the fellowship, so they're there in discipleship, they're there in walking through what this looks like. How does this then apply to our lives? How do we apply God's word into what we're going through tomorrow? That's the fellowship. And then the breaking of bread. So they're going to each other's houses. They're doing life together. They're spending that time with one another. There are certain things that we learn about each other through spending time together. And some things are only learned by spending time together. And that's one of the things that we struggle with so often as a church, is spending time together, doing life together. I mean, we'll come in here on a Sunday morning and we'll go through that, but we don't really just spend that much time together as other people will. So there's that third element. So the first element is the word. The second element is the fellowship. The third element is the doing of the life together, the breaking of bread. And then what's the fourth element?
Praying.
So he says, Luke says in verse 42 that there were four ingredients. There are four things that this early church was doing. They were doing these four things. Was this all they were doing? Well, it doesn't say this is all they were doing, but they were doing these four things. And then you look at the result in verse 43. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. So if you think about what's going on here, Luke says these are the four things that they were doing. And then as the result of these four things, the impact, the effect that it had in their lives was both external and internal. So it says in verse 43 that all came upon them, but that it wasn't just a matter of, boy, we feel renewed, we feel rejuvenated, we feel encouraged. But then you started seeing in verse 44 and 45, they start putting to practice these things that they were saying they believed. And does this mean that we got to go home and sell our houses? And everybody gets to move into the church? I don't think that's what he's saying. There's some cultural stuff going on. There's some contextual stuff going on there. I think he's just saying that they understood that they were a body, that they were a family, that they were a group of believers, and they were caring for one another. They were meeting the needs of one another. They were doing the things within one another that was most needed, because if they love Jesus and love one another, then that means that they're going to live sacrificially for the sake of one another. So the outcome was both external and it was internal. They were doing supernatural signs there in verse 43. But then also their actions were reflecting their words. And so the things that they said they believed, they were putting into practice. They were not just saying that they loved one another. They were showing it by their deeds and by their actions. And then you get down then to, well, then what was the response of God? So, like I said, this is not us saying, well, if we do this, then God has to do that. But you see a pattern here. Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the word, to the fellowship, to doing life together and praying. The result was in their lives is that the evidence that they were not who they were before was plain to everybody. The reflection of the love of Christ in them was coming out of them. People could look at them and say, they are different, and we see a change in them because of Christ in them. Their actions were changed. Their behavior was changed. Their priorities were changed because of their pursuit of God. Then you get down to verse 46, and I put there in those notes, it was like it was a cul-de-sac. You know what a cul-de-sac is, Mr. Gillentine? Matt?
Yes, sir.
What's a cul-de-sac?
Oh, that's hard to explain. It's like a dead end, and it's like houses are all around it. That's the loop, you know what I mean?
So like the road goes in,
yeah,
and then it comes back out like you're going to the bottom of a thermometer, right?
Yeah.
So you come in and pretty much do a U-turn and come right back out, right? There's houses all lined around it.
Yeah.
So it's not really a dead end. It's kind of like a dead end with a turnaround.
That's right.
Right? Dead end with a turnaround, okay? So when you think about what's going on here, I think of it like a cul-de-sac effect. Now, if you think of like a dead end, you just go to the end of it, and now you're stuck. Now you got to figure out how you're going to back all the way out, and if you got a trailer, then that gets even worse. And sometimes they don't have signs saying a dead end, and sometimes people down there get cranky because how dare you come down to their end of the road. Anyway, so a dead end is kind of like no more. This is all there is. But when you get to a cul-de-sac, you get in there, there's always a way back out. There's always just a quick turnaround, turn the wheel to the left, and you can get right back out. Well, in verse 46, it's talking about what is going on in their lives, and I think of it like a cul-de-sac effect, okay? Where do you get that from, Smith? Well, I'm going to show you. Okay, so verse 46, it says, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they what? What does it say? They what? What's the next word? What does your Bible say?
Received.
They received. Okay, so they received. So the idea, okay, so think about this middle picture of a cul-de-sac, okay? So they received from God what? They received from God their what? Their food. They received sustenance. They received the things that they needed from God. Alright? So they received from God, and then as those gifts, those provisions, those means of God of providing for their needs, as they came in, then what came out? They received their food with gladness or glad and generous heart. So I think about it like this. I'm thinking like as God's goodness came in, then their appreciation and their joy and their gratitude for God came out. As God's goodness came in, the result was appreciation, gratitude, worship, glory for God came out. As God was blessing them, they didn't just take it and say, thank you, we deserve it. Thank you, we were owed it. Thank you, now we're going to keep it and hand it out as we see fit. As the blessings and the provisions came in, then they came out in gratitude and blessings of the people. So as provisions came in, blessings went out, or gratitude went out. That's verse 46. And then here comes this cycle again. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And so you see the people. Not only are they grateful, they're thanking the Lord. And as they receive the things and then respond with the right heart, it says in verse 47, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. So there's this like this cyclical effect. God provides. God takes care. Things come in. They're grateful. They're thankful. They know where it came from. They know who they need to praise and what they're receiving it for. Then God starts adding people. Those people are coming in. Those people are hearing about Jesus. They're being discipled and they're being sent out. It's this cycle that's happening because they're practicing these four ingredients. They devoted themselves to the Word of God. They were nurturing and fostering the fellowship of the believers. They were intentionally doing life together. And they're prioritizing the place of prayer in their lives. And because of those four things were evident, what Luke says is then what happens in the life of the church. God blesses, the people show thanks. Then God provides, and the people give credit. And then God sends, and then people are saved. And then you see this cul-de-sac effect, where as soon as God puts things in, they come right back out, except for they're having that touch of the human element of gratitude and thankfulness, and the people start being changed. It says in verse 47, day by day, those who were being saved. It was like this revolving door just kept on turning. So one of the dangers that I think that I see is that when we as a church become too stubborn or lazy to pursue and to prioritize those four ingredients, the result is we just try to manufacture. We try to create that effect. And so sometimes we do it with music. Sometimes we do it with the way that speakers present themselves. Sometimes we do it with dramatic effects. Sometimes we'll do it with the environment or the setting within the room. Sometimes we try to create that effect, when in reality we are trying to synthetically produce something that is only done supernaturally. And a lot of times it's just because you and I have gotten to the point that we're not willing to submit ourselves, put ourselves under the authority of God's Word. No, we're not willing to come and be authentic or vulnerable to those in the fellowship. We're too busy to do life with one another, and prayer is something we only do for 15 seconds a day as we're driving down the road. And then we wonder why we don't see the power and the effect of God, the after effect of God at life in this church. So that is part of the reason why we want to have a time that we go into a season of church renewal. Does that mean that we come to God and say, all right, God, here's the deal. On our calendar, we have it marked out April 19th through 21st. So God, so these are the dates you need to be here. So you need to mark these calendars. You need to mark these days off on your schedule, God, because this is what... No. And the same way, whenever we had revivals in years past, they would say, oh, so the revival can only happen during the springtime. No. Oh, you're saying that you're going to manufacture. That's not the desire. The desire is to provide an opportunity for we as God's people to refocus, to be refreshed, to be reminded about the things that we should be doing in pursuit of the Lord. So right here in Acts, Peter says, or sorry, Luke gives a picture and he says, these are things that they did and this was the result. So we could come together this Friday and Saturday and Sunday and we could do everything to a T and nothing could happen. Does that mean that God is not good and God is not faithful? No. But if we come and we do everything to a T, are we losing anything? No. All of those disciplines are disciplines that God encourages, that God expects out of us. But what if? What if we come and we submit ourselves and we put ourselves in a position that we are most able to hear and to be ministered to by the Holy Spirit? What if we came and said, no expectations, no demands, but I want to spend 2 or 3 days seeing how close I can get to you? What a difference that might make in our lives. It's one of the reasons why I think kids camp and youth camp has been effective in years past, because you get those students and you get them out of the normal routine, you get them out of the normal patterns, and the majority of their time is spent focused on God. They're just thinking about it. They get up in the morning and they have a quiet time. And they go down and they have a morning chapel time. And then they have some type of a small group time after that. And then they play some games in the afternoon and it's right back to church time that night. It's like most of their day is focused on the things of God. And then they start to hear. They start to grow closer. They start to just be more involved with that. And so the result is that they're listening. They're being impacted. And they're being ministered to by the Holy Spirit. So it's an opportunity for you and I to get together and just see how close we can get to God. So maybe another question that you may have in your mind is, well, do I really need to be here? Yes. Yes, you do need to be here. Well, Spence, I don't need to be here. I'm not a member of the church. You are part of this body. Whether you filled out a card or not, you are part of this body. And your spiritual health affects all of us. That's what he's talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He's talking about the body. And he's talking about how the body impacts the whole, or each member of the body impacts the whole body. So do you need to be here? I am pleading with you that you would be here, because this church is only as healthy as the members of this church. And I'm not talking about membership as far as an official name on an official church roll. I'm saying when you are part of this body of believers, your health impacts and has something to do with everybody. So yes, you're needed. Yes, you're wanted. Am I going to come and chase you down? No. But I'm just telling you, this is the time. And there's not a single one of us in this room who can say we are close enough to God. And there's not a single one of us in this room that can say, well, I'm too close to God, or I've got it all figured out. Every single one of us in this room could always be encouraged, refreshed, and renewed in one way or the other. So, here's this last one. Then you say, well, then what can I do? So if you're thinking about this Friday, and I can already hear, you've already got 15 excuses lined up for why this Friday doesn't work. And I'm sure 10 of them are valid. I got it. And then you may say, well, Saturday morning, I've got things going on Saturday morning. I got it. Saturday night, you can't expect me to be at church on Saturday night. I get it. I hear what you're saying. But what can you do? You can evaluate, and I put a whole bunch there on those notes, because I don't know what you call it. They're all really synonymous. Whether you call them devotions, commitments, priorities, responsibilities, or obligations, they're all the same thing. They're whatever it is that says, I can't be there at church because of that. You may call it a devotion, commitment, priority, responsibility, obligation, whatever you want to call it. It's whatever you have going on that keeps you from being here. Evaluate it. I'm just asking you to consider. Is it really more important than where you are at in your spiritual walk, your spiritual freshness. I'm not saying that if you're not here, you're not a good Christian. I'm not saying that you're not faithful. I'm just saying it's an opportunity for you and I to grow closer to the Lord. It's an opportunity for us to be encouraged. It's an opportunity for us to be refreshed. Maybe it's an opportunity for you to think about, well, how am I doing on these four disciplines? How am I doing with submitting myself and studying the Word of God and applying it to my life? How am I doing with being a part of the fellowship of the believers and that accountability? How am I doing with doing life with other people? How am I doing when it comes to the prayer? Maybe it's just a time for you and I to evaluate and to consider, are there things that we would like to be encouraged in? Are there things that we would like to be refreshed in? Are there things that we would definitely like to come and say, you know, there's some things that I'm struggling with, some things that I need to be challenged in, some things that I need to be loved on, whatever it may be. There's always something that you and I can do to come back and to reevaluate, to rethink, to recalibrate. Because I hope you'll join us this weekend. Whether it's just one night, whether it's at every single turn, I hope you'll join us. I hope you'll be here. I hope you'll be a part of it. And I hope that you'll think, where are you at on these four disciplines? The Word, the fellowship, the life, and the prayer. Because even if you can't be here this weekend, those are always things for us to be thinking about in the life of this church. I think those are four ingredients that we see present, that we see not just only present in that church there in Acts chapter 2, but you see it all the way throughout the book of Acts, and you even see it in the rest of the New Testament churches. There were these elements that were there, that people, when they got under the Word of God, and they got in accountability and fellowship with one another, and they started pursuing this lifestyle together, and they prayed, that God did things amongst them. I think there's an opportunity for you and I to practice these things and pursue these things and be ready for these things. What other ideas do you have?
You could start praying early. There is a list downstairs that you could sign up for. That's 24 hours of prayer. The idea is that you have to pray for a whole hour if you sign up, just that you pray at the top of that hour for however long God leads you. For the weekend, that's a big part of the preparation. So,
okay, yes, sir.
I've got a question. What time do you have times for each day that it starts?
Yes, sir. Back there on the tripod, I can when I get my phone back, I can send you a picture, or Miss Denise can send it to you. But there, she has a picture of the schedule that says on which days which things are going on, so you can see that. Okay, yeah.
When will we know when we go where?
So Friday night. Once people show up, we get here on Friday night, and that's when he will divide us up in the groups. So that way you'll know. I think he numbers us off.
Yeah, number off.
Supper is at 6:30. So 6:30, we'll eat supper at 6:30, and then after that we'll go into the kind of the first big shindig get together. So. The what?
Do you have a paper showing all
this? I can get one for you. I can get one. So.
There are some little. If anybody needs a schedule that's not digital, the schedule is going to be on the back of your name tags, but there are some laying down there on the table next to lunch if you need a printed version.
Okay. Well, if you'll wait before you leave, I'll get you a paper copy. So, I just want to encourage you. For some of us in the room, we've never done this, and I realize you're like, what's the point? What is it going to hurt? I mean, you're going to come and you're going to spend some time with some people that you're supposed to love, and you're going to get free food and come. And then at the end of it on Sunday night, we're gathered back together and you're like, well, that was terrible. Then come tell us about it. It's not going to hurt anything. You got it.
So is First Baptist hosting and organizing this, or is hosting?
So there is a statewide organization that facilitates the church renewal weekends. There is a guy by the name of Bill Curley, who's kind of the state director for it. He kind of helps lead that effort up. And then there are people that are all throughout the state from various churches, not professional ministers, they're lay people, that he then calls upon to come in to help facilitate it. So First Baptist is hosting it, but the way that it is set up is it's designed to be a renewal for everybody in the church. And so they do not want people that normally serve to be serving that same capacity because they want to give them a chance to be refreshed at every level. So they will. The plan is there's 19 other people that will be coming in, and they will be facilitating and leading us through that entire weekend course. So yes, and so yes, FBC's hosting it. We're organizing it, but we're not facilitating it because there's a team in the state that does this for different churches. And then once we go through it, it may be very well that there's another church later on in the road that says, hey, we want to do a church renewal, and that Bill calls somebody from this church and says, hey, will you go and be a part of that? So I know Mr. Moe's done that. I know Miss Denise has done that. I know Mr. Van has done that. And there's probably some other people, even in this room, that have gone and participated and helped be that encouragement to another church. Yes, sir.
I would add that it's also a great opportunity to invite unchurched friends and neighbors to Friday night to come share the meal and participate in the activity. I think it's an opportunity for evangelists.
Okay.
That goes unnoticed a lot of times. But it really is a non-threatening atmosphere, and it's surprisingly enjoyable.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Other thoughts, feedback? Yes, sir.
So the free time, is that going to be like a family fun night deal? Or just social hour?
No, I don't think it'll be a family fun night. So the idea is they come together and there's some teaching that goes on. We do some singing and we do some teaching. And then when it comes to be broke, when they start to do the small groups, the adults will be in there will be several adult small groups. Students will go to one area, children go to another area, and there's something more age specific and more related to where their stage is at in life. So it's not really games, but there's conversations, discussions, study questions, is my understanding.
More conversation.
Okay. So, yes, ma'am.
They're teaching all the Sunday school classes as well.
That's what I've been told. Yes, ma'am. So I have been told that they are teaching all Sunday school, and that so we have been let go for this coming Sunday. is what I was told.
That's the idea. Is that the people who lead in this church get the weekend to sit back and partake versus having to be in charge of Sunday. The only person that doesn't apply to is the nursery. Sunday morning they do have to provide nursery.
So we submitted how many Sunday school classes we have, what kind of Sunday school classes. We already submitted all that information to him. So then he goes through there and says, okay, so we got 3 adult Sunday school classes, and this is kind of the makeup of those 3 classes. And so then he goes and finds people, is what he told me. So, yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir.
So the people doing the Sunday school for the kids, are we going to know who they are ahead of time?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, we're no crazies. No, sir.
Yeah. Have they passed background checks too?
Yes, sir. They've passed screening and background checks, and that's all done at that organizational level, which passes the muster of here. So, yeah.
Have they passed my background check?
Have I passed your background check? I don't know. Have I? I don't even know. I don't know what's all required. So, all right. So that's coming up this Friday. Please don't leave Miss Levita without me giving you a piece of paper with the schedule on it. So I hope that you'll think about it. I hope that you'll consider and that you will think about being here and join us for that. And if nothing else, if you just think about these 4 ingredients and just say, okay, where do I need to work on? Where is an area that I'm rusty in, or an area that I am a little bit anemic in, or maybe even an area that I'm lazy in? these are needed for us as a church. I'm glad you're here tonight. I hope to see you Friday night. I hope that you come back, and I hope you'll come back and you'll be a part of that. So, Brother Ron, do you want to close this in a word of prayer, and we'll go home.
Thank you for joining us today at FBC Wellston. We would love to hear from you or connect with you if you will visit our website at fbcwellston.org. Please let us know if we can serve you in any way, and we look forward to connecting with you in the future.